singing all the way around. I don't care where you're from. That's just good and a blessing all the way. Let me see if that button there is on. Does that do it? It's going to do it. We'll take time to give a testimony or two. Anybody got a testimony they want to give real quick? Yeah, there's one. That was a good one. Yes, sir.
I just
want to
say I thank the Lord for saving my soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, I don't know, 15 years now or
yeah.
So.
Amen. Yes, sir. Real fast, if you're busting the gut, go ahead with it. Let's go. And all that business right there. It's good to be saved to know the Lord. I was thinking about all these boys and girls through the years, you know. Well, listen, we were there when they were being birthed, when they were born. And not only to the family of God, but into this church family. And what a blessing. What a blessing that it's been. And being able to see them grow up and sing and quote and read the Bible. And it's just good. I was glad, the psalmist said, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Yeah. All right, do you have your hand up? No, you're just stretching your finger. All right, that's how Miss Diane broke her hand, trying to stick her hand up. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking tonight in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, turn quickly there. You find the place. And if you find the place and you're able to stand, look in the book of Acts in chapter number 13. And we'll look there in the passage that's there. All right, in Acts chapter number 13. All right, Paul and Barnabas are called by the Holy Spirit of God. You find there's always, when there's a good call from God, opposition from the devil or Satan, if you please. And verse 6, and when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer of a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulius, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Well, that's an unusual desire, isn't it? I mean, it's a good desire, but there they were. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Now, I can tell you right now, just so you'll know, the devil doesn't want you to get saved. If you're not saved, the devil's glad, and he don't want you to get saved, and he'll do what he can to turn you from the faith. Then verse 9, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. I can tell you right now, he wasn't using kid gloves. Listen to what he said to him. And he said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thy enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, he said, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind and not seeing for the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him the mist of darkness, and when he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, Father, we ask a blessing upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Now, bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder, and we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. And we all thank you, Lord, for saving the soul that's nearest hell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on Thou May Have a Devil. It got awful quiet and all that business there, but let me tell you right now, make no mistake about it, the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I can promise you he's after your mind, he's after your marriage, he's after your children. The devil's doing what he can to be able to sabotage your life and to turn you away from the truth of God and to destroy your faith in what the Lord has to say. I was thinking about, you know, as I wanted to give a testimony or two, and as we did, and I thought, well, I won't be too long, and all of that business there, and but I've got plenty of time. I got to tell you, do you realize, though, that bad preaching can be tolerated if it's short enough? In this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out the devil always has. He does tonight. He will tomorrow. He's always refused the authority of the word of the Lord.
Yes.
I got to tell you right now is, is that you'll find out in the day and hour. We passed a few people up and down the road. And tonight, well, every week, depending on whichever route we go, there's somebody we'll know that used to be in church right here. People that we've prayed with, people that we've wept over, people that we've prayed for their kids and their grandkids. And I'm talking about, and of course, you know, their cars are not leaving and going anywhere, and that's what I get for making a woman mad. Now, I got to tell you right now, it's sad, isn't it? It's sad that people, you know, are busy in the house of God, and then if they blow out with you, they want to pull out who blew in with them, and they want to pull them out. And that'd be one thing if you was in a better spot, but when you're not in any spot, something's gone wrong there. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out it's because she had an authority problem like this person right here that did. I can tell you, whenever you begin to look into it, you'll find she tries to turn these men from the faith, not to the faith, but from the faith. Let me tell you right here, you're sitting here in this building. Some of you got a mama and a daddy and a grandpa and a grandma and cousins and nieces and nephews and this and that and all of that. Do you realize that, oh, they're born lost and undone without God, going to a devil's hell? And you better do what you can to live right, walk right, talk right, spit right, and be an example to them concerning the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, I don't like to talk about my kin folks dying. They're going to die whether you like to talk about it or not. Question is, what have you done to turn them from darkness unto light? You see what I'm talking about? Is that in this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find that here's the devil trying to turn people from the faith. And as a result of it, they're going to overcome the faith of some. But I'm glad to know to you that if you're saved by the grace of God and you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, thanks be unto God, you're hell proof and heaven bound. Now, I want you to notice something, if you will, is that in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out the devil's always been going about sowing tares and things that are replicas and things that are similar and things that are counterfeit, if you will, please, about the doctrine and the people of God. I can tell you what we begin to look at, you're going to find out is that the devil's busy sowing tares. When the disciples noticed that while they had been sleeping, the tares had been sown, they said, Lord, shall we root them up? No. He said, lest you root up some of the wheat with it, we're going to let them both grow together until the time or the end of the harvest. Now, in the lesson, you'll find the devil's busy sowing a tare. Not only that, but he's busy spreading temptations. Sometimes, remember over there in the book of Matthew chapter number 4, you can read about it later, but he brought possessions, he brought provisions to be able to tempt the Lord. He brought protection. The Lord will bear thee up lest you dash your foot against the stone. He brought a position and all that, and a promise that he'd give this or that. I got to tell you, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out the devil's always been. He is tonight. He will be tomorrow. He's a thief. He's a robber. And he wants to rob your mind of the things of God. And he wants to rob your heart and your soul of the truth of God. Now, in this lesson here, you're going to find out is that the devil's going to always be busy about trying to snatch away the truth of God from you to where that you're just left with nothing but the world, the flesh, and the devil. I was thinking about in this lesson that's here, the devil's busy secretly tearing down all the time. In the day we live in, you're going to find out is that in the absence of the congregation, the devil's busy. You know, whisper separated chief friends. And let me tell you something, whenever you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to find out real soon is that the devil pretends to care, but he really doesn't. He really doesn't care. In fact, it's over in the book of St. John, chapter number 10, about verse number 10, you'll find he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. In other words, here's the way it is tonight. If you're here, sitting here under the sound of my voice, if the devil can't steal faith away from you, if the devil can't detour you away from the Word of God, he'd just soon to kill you and drag you on to hell. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. He pretends to care, but he really doesn't. You remember over there, whenever there was Judas Iscariot? He was a great pretender. Judas liked to work in the absence of the people that were there. And you'll find out that, remember that woman with that alabaster box and this and that, and broke it and she poured it upon the Lord Jesus Christ and anointed him from the day of his burial or till the day of his burial. And Judas, you can always depend on him. Oh, Judas, buddy, he said, why is this waste? That could have been sold and given to the poor. Now, what kind of knucklehead is that to care more about the poor that you're going to have with you always than the Lord Jesus Christ and want to be able to use on him? Let me tell you, whatever you give toward the Lord, whatever you use in the service of the Lord is not a waste. I can promise you right now is you can use a corn scoop and put it in, and he'll use the dump truck to bring it back on you. It's that simple right there. You're not going to outgive God one iota. I got to say to you that whenever you begin to look into this lesson that's here, you're going to find is that over there in the book of 1 Corinthians 16, we'll not turn there, but there in about chapter number 16, verse number 2, you'll find the Bible said, let every man lay by him in store upon the first day of the week. You remember whenever Paul the apostle rebuked the church at Corinth because they didn't want to give, and they didn't give, unlike you folks that give well. But they didn't want to give. And what he did, he reprimanded and he said unto them, I've robbed other churches to do a service for you. See that? In this lesson that we're looking at, you realize, I know, that over there that he told them that we're not to muzzle the mouth of the ox, it's treading out the corn. And you know the reason being? I'll tell you the reason being is because that's what God ordained, take care of the people, man of God, the house of God, at the things of God. As you read over there in the Old Testament there, you're going to find out is that there, by implication, were 13 tribes instead of 12. 12 tribes and one by implication, 13 of them. Now, the 13th tribe didn't get any land. The 13th tribe was the clergy. The 13th tribe was the Levite, the tribe of Levi. And those little people there, all of those other 12 tribes, they gave tithes unto the Lord, and they gave it unto Levi. And then you find out that as a result, Paul the Apostle covers that, I believe, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And does he say that for the oxen or for our sakes? And then he says, no doubt for our sakes. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that he goes on and tells them that in days gone by, if you read over there, we're in Nehemiah, and you'll find out that one day that whenever the man of God went by there, he saw them guys that were Levites that were out in the field trying to make a living. And he knew immediately somebody had been robbing God. And he said, why are these men back out in the field? When God said that we ought to preach the gospel, everybody that preaches the gospel ought to live of the gospel. That don't mean you ought to live right. That means you've got a responsibility to live right, to walk right, to talk right, to give right. Yes, that's what he said. Let every man lay by him in store. Listen, when you bring your tithe to the house of God, you're to be there with it. Yes, see that? I say you're not interested in this whatsoever and all that, and ask me, do I care? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find that's how the devil gets busy working. People go to form it up in their own little mind and their own little world the way they want to see it, and God forbid that it's ever going to get changed. I got to say to you that I'm glad that God's on the throne. Everything's running right on time. And make no mistake about it, the devil's still headed straight toward hell. But I can tell you something that's not, and that is old Dennis Anderson that got snatched as a brand from the burning, washed by the blood, born into the family of God. Now, in this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out there's some other things that we ought to look at. Do you know whenever I got saved, by the grace of God, he not only saved me, but he cleansed me and sealed me unto the day of redemption. Do you know if you're saved like that, that's what's happened to you? Somebody said, you don't know how bad a desperado that I was. I know it, and I don't even want to. But I can tell you, somebody can reach farther down than you'll ever reach up. And his name's the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize, you know, that the Bible teaches us that there's forgiveness? There's a passage over there in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, about verse number 9, and the Bible said that if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, every now and again, somebody, you might could bring up something I already had under the blood and all of that. But most of my life, my worst life was better than most people's Sunday school life. But I was headed just as straight to hell as anybody would have ever been. And let me say to you that it's good that when you're saved, that God forgives you and that God cleanses and makes you clean. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you something. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing. Now, I'll give you a couple of passages. One of them's over in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter number 130. And if you'd like to look at along, if not, you can jot them down and look at it later. But over there in the book of Psalm, chapter number 130, it's about verse 4. The Bible said, "But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared." Let me tell you, there's forgiveness with God. Over there in the book of Acts in chapter number 13, and about verse number 38, we're talking about forgiveness. And when you look there in the book of Acts and you see that, you begin to recognize and realize Acts 13:38. You begin to recognize and realize the goodness of God that led and brought us to repentance. "Be it known unto you therefore, men and the brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." There's Paul the apostle talking about Jesus Christ. If you want to be forgiven and have the forgiveness of sins, you'd better listen to the preaching of the word of the Lord. Look in Acts chapter number 26. And about verse number 18, Acts chapter 26, and about verse number 18, that passage is there as we begin to look at that. Acts chapter number 26, verse 18. Here's what he says. He says, God sent, and now he's rehearsing before Agrippa. This is Paul. And then he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse number 18, this is the Lord Jesus Christ that said, God sent me to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's Jesus doing the talking. And make no mistake about it, if you're a child of God tonight, you have forgiveness with God of your sins. Now, look in Psalm chapter number 103. Now, I'm going to give you another passage, and it's over there in the book of Micah. And the reason I'm telling it to you now, so you could be finding it, we don't use it that often, but over there in the book of Psalm, the Bible says, in chapter number 103. Now, if you're here tonight, and you say, "Preacher, how forgiven am I?" Let me tell you, this Bible tells you right here, verse 12. And he says, notice verse 11. And he said, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far he hath removed our transgressions from us." Now watch this here. You're going to find out that if you were to take off, and let's just say that you were headed north, because the world is round, that after a while, you'd reach past north and go over the hill, and you'd be going south again. But when God talks about he separated us from our sins as far as the east is from the west, he defies the law of gravity. And so whenever God begins to take us and he begins to separate us, and as far as the east is from the west, when God does that, he takes our sins and he takes us, and we're going one direction, the sin's the other direction, and they just keep going and going and going, and they never come back again to us. That's how it is. That's how wonderful that he is. If you wake up tomorrow and you feel bad, and you feel like you're full of the devil, that's something new that you've been cultivating. That ain't something coming back at you. That's something you've allowed. See? Look, if you will, in the book of Micah. Turn over there in the book of Micah, in Micah chapter number 7, as we look there in that chapter there in the book of Micah. Chapter number 7, verse number 18. We'll take up reading with that. And he says, "Who is like God unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Have you been forgiven? Well, it's been by the Lord, no doubt about it. And passeth by the transgression of the remnant of the heritage. Now, he retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. You know why we're still alive tonight and doing well? God delights in mercy. If I got what I deserve, as I've told you hundreds of times, if I got what I deserve tonight, I'd be in hell right now, and you'd be there with me too. But I'm glad that God delighteth in mercy. Verse 19. He will turn again, and he will have compassion upon us, and he will subdue our iniquities, and thou shalt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Now, I can tell you right now, God's going to perform truth to Jacob, mercy to Abraham. Make no mistake about it. Our sins are gone, and they've been taken as far as the east is from the west, or they've been taken and thrown into the depths of the sea. I don't know how deep the deepest part of the sea is. Does anybody? Anybody know? No. I don't. But I can tell you this. It's deeper than I want to swim. It's deeper than I want to be able to engage in. You know, there's some things out there that are spooky. And I'm talking about whenever they make a splash, it's as long as this church building is long and longer. I got to tell you right up front, I've been fishing out there before, and then had other guys, and they said, you know what? I jumped out of the boat and swam underneath it and came up on the other side. Something in my mind flashed, idiot, idiot, idiot. Now, why? I'll tell you why, because I had one of them with a big spot on its tail. What is that called? A big red, whatever it was. And it was that long. And took a picture, throwed it back. And there was something bigger than the boat swirled the water and grabbed hold of that. I don't even want to be in the depths of where that was by that oil rig. I got to tell you right now is, when I pillow my head tonight, when you pillow your head tonight, I hope that you will be able to relax and to rest in the grace and forgiveness and the mercy of God. Let me tell you, the only people that won't forgive you is other Baptists. That's true, isn't it? Yeah. Now, and I'm not talking about a spousal. I'm not talking about a little argument you get in with your spouse. You know, whenever now she's smarter than you are and she's gotten more on you and all you, and now all you got to do, I can't win. I'm going to have to dig up something from her past. Some of you chuckling because I want to tell you right now, the devil wants to do the best he can to cause you to not realize how much God loved you, how much mercy he's bestowed upon you, and be forgiven. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're going to be in trouble if you and I put that into practice, that you can't bring up any sins that's done been forgiven. I mean, I'm telling you. It's awful quiet. Some of you must be using sins of the past. See what I'm talking about? It's good to be. And listen, you're not talking to some knucklehead here tonight that doesn't know what sin is. But I can tell you this, I've never been drunk one time in my life. But I'd have went just as straight to hell as the worst drunkard you ever met. My wife and I went together for 2 years. We never had a relation outside of marriage till after we got married. And all that business there. Now, I know everybody can't say that, but I would have went just as straight to hell hanging on to that as the worst whoremonger, a fornicator, adulterer. You see what I'm talking about? So that's the reason why that I'm glad there is forgiveness with God. See? And as a result of that, I'm not trying to go on a feeling, but I thank God I can feel what I am going on. I wonder, do you know him tonight? I hope and trust that you do. Don't let the devil sow your mind full of junk. If you brought it to the Lord and asked for the mercy of God and the grace of God, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. And that ain't the Pope talking either, buddy. You're forgiven. I wonder why we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord. There may be a man, a woman, a boy. I'm glad, Lord, you forgave me and saved my soul. I'm glad for others that are here tonight to testify in the behalf of thee and what you've done for them. Now go with us to our homes and help us, I pray.